Last week, Lauren taught on offense, and this week I'm going to go just a little bit farther into what comes out of when we hold that offense, all right? And I don't know why, but I felt like I should continue right there, but just add and build on what she did. So I'm just believing the Holy Spirit has got a message in particular for a number of people today, okay? And so as I go into this, probably one of the things that would be foremost, in, should be foremost in your heart is to let it go, okay? So we're gonna discuss a lot of corners of this because there are some people who have had kind of bad things happen to them. And then there are people who have had extreme things happen to them. But irregardless, whether you're the one who was forgiven much, like it talks about in Matthew 18, or forgiven much, or forgiven little or forgiven much, doesn't make a difference whether you were offended little or offended much. Still the same requirement if you want to be free. See, so it's kind of like, you know, the buck stops with you, so to speak. We're the ones that no matter what's happened in our lives, if I want to be free, I'm going to have to be accountable for me right here. Not maybe a father who was unkind or a mother who was not doing everything right, you know? Because how many of you have ever done everything perfect since y'all grew up? And yet, we a lot of times will blame our parents, you know, but our parents are the product of their parents and circumstances the same way that their parents are the products of what went before, okay? So we're all products of either our the way we were raised, specific things that have come into our lives, but the bottom line is that when it gets to here, it's like, what am I going to do with them? And I'm going to stay in that past. I'm going to stay in the mess. Or am I going to choose to start moving forward so I don't have to be like that? And you know, God has an answer for, God has a way out, maybe I should say, for every single one of us if we'll take the time to get get what he's got to say to us, all right? And Jesus will never, you know, he said, my people hear my voice. See, so it's all of us. He speaks, but do we listen? He speaks and are we hearing, okay? So just to talk a little bit about offense, and I don't even remember, I had to leave early what you gave for a definition, but offense is a violation or an infraction done to someone to bring harm to them. And when that infraction is done where it's bringing harm to someone, oftentimes it can be intentional, sometimes not intentional, okay? So you need to be looking at both corners of this, okay? Sometimes people can offend and hurt people just because they're selfish, they're full of themselves, and other people just offend because maybe something happens and they don't intentionally do it, you know, but it happens. But back to this thing with us is that then our response to offense, our response to what was done to us determines our future. See, so if we're going to keep holding on to things or get into arenas of self-pity or poor me or anger and depression or whatever you might be sitting under, irregardless, still goes back to your response. And if you're not fitting into this little corner of offense and bitterness, it's still, what is your response to situations that come to you in life, all right? Because we can hold on to things or we can get fed up and tired of it and decide to move on and allow God to do what he wants to do, okay? So a lot of times people are unable to function properly in life. In other words, they're dysfunctional. And, you know, we see that all the time in the body of Christ, okay? It's definitely in the world. But it shouldn't be just, I mean, it should be in the world, okay? But it shouldn't be here because we should be walking these things out. We should be getting some answers. And the answers are available, but are you making yourself available? All right? Okay, so if you've got some dysfunctions in your life today, you know, I listened to a teaching one time on children who are dysfunctional in the home, and this was a teaching for how parents can deal with children who are totally out of control, okay? Screaming and yelling and ranting and raving and blaming and not doing well in school maybe or whatever, all right? So parents are rushing around trying to get this kid fixed, you know, blaming themselves for everything they've done wrong in the child, you know? And the devil loves to do that because, again, if the devil can keep you held under a spirit of guilt because you weren't the most perfect parent, all right, then you never can really come up enough to believe for that child to even come out of it because you're always going to be embracing that spirit of guilt. But anyway, when I was listening to these CDs and he was talking, and actually it's called Total Transformation. It's on online. It's, you know, you can just get it. But anyway, I got it because I just thought it might help some people. And so I listened to bits and pieces of it, but what he talked about so much was make your child accountable. You know, and with that child, don't babysit their behavior problem. See, we have a tendency to do that. And the reason I'm talking about that is because I want you to see that you may be babysitting some things yourself, that you need to quit babysitting behaviors that are not acceptable, all right? And so a lot of times, just like a parent can try to, there are situations that have come into the life of a child or whatever, and it isn't really even all the parents' fault. I don't blame my parents for what went on in my life. I took responsibility for my life, all right? And again, let me go back to, I don't care how severe your life has been as a child in the area of dysfunction, if you won't take charge of your life and accountability for it, then you're not on that path to make those crooked places straight. See, we have to sometimes own it, all right? So anyway, as he goes on and talks about it, one of the things that he talks about is, again, the parent shifting, instead of shifting all the blame back on that, shift that responsibility on the child for that behavior because they're making choices, all right? And hold them accountable that if certain behaviors don't change, there's consequences, all right? And, you know, I'll tell you what, if we teach that to our children when they're young, they're going to be a whole lot farther ahead when they're adults. When we haven't maybe had that trained into us and our parents have always tried to compensate, our parents have, you know, when I always talk about, like, sometimes that basically in our home we grew up. We had basically no nurturing, no training. We just grew up, okay, because there were seven of us. But in that, I'm still accountable for things I want to change in my life, you see. And did I make mistakes? Oh, my goodness, lots of them as a parent myself, okay? But either I can move forward or I can still be wallowing in where my parents' deficit was, all right? And see, what we have a tendency to do then is to train our children that they have a right to remain in that place, a victim, okay, rather than victor. And see, we have that responsibility. So if you're still there, own it today, all right? Whatever type of abuse that you've been through or offense that's come to you or wrongdoing that's come to you, if you'll take responsibility for it, you'll be starting to come out of it because then you can change. And you can't change if you're always going to blame somebody else, okay? So we have to decide, yeah, maybe they messed it, but look at how much I'm messing it. And there are answers for us out there today. There are answers that we can learn how to parent, how to function, how to whatever we need. So if you're still in your home and you're throwing a fit and you're an adult, oh, my goodness. We got to get past that, all right? Okay, so that's my little whatever on that one. But what happens is, again, the fact that people are dysfunctional because of woundedness or because of hurts or offenses that have come into their lives. But again, if you will look at yourself, you know, if I had to look at myself a number of years ago, and hopefully I don't have to in the same manner, hopefully I've improved a little bit. But if I had to look at myself and think, oh my goodness, were we dysfunctional? Lou and I, oh, were we a dysfunctional couple? We were. But you know what? We had to finally own this dysfunction and change it. You see? So again, yes, we were both had things that hurt us, things that had been done wrong. And then how about your own mistakes too? You know, you're going to have to sometimes let yourself go in your own mistakes. You're going to have to move forward and let go even of regrets that you've had in life, maybe raising your children or with jobs and with finances and decisions that you've made. But if you're going to move forward again, you have to start letting some of these things to go so that you are not handicapped because of the things that are there. All right. Then we can deal with I'm going to actually read something to you, I think, before I go to this here that I've got. I have a lot of documentation that I've studied through the years that I've added with some of my teachings, and a lot of them are even things that they have found out socially, medically, how negative emotions affect us. Okay? So if I'm holding myself into a place because of what my parents did, and I don't, or somebody did to me, could even be a pastor, all right? Whatever it is that I'm holding on to will begin to have a negative effect on me as a person, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, all right? Mental torment especially comes out of this that I'm talking about today with bitterness. But anyway, bitterness, I'm going to give you some different definitions of it. Bitterness actually is the fruit, would become the fruit of an offense. All right. And a lot of us might have an offense and you don't even know you're having an offense because someplace along the line, you were bitter about something that happened to you. So if you were bitter about something, you were harboring or holding still to an offense. All right. So again, when we recognize those things that have happened, we can decide to start moving forward. But bitterness would be defined, one of them, as a frozen form of latent anger and resentment. I think I would take notes on this if I were you today, too. Bitterness grows out of our refusal to let go when someone or something is taken from us or a wrong is done. Bitterness is being constantly hurt by a memory, and it's holding on to a hurt until that hurt holds on to you. Now, this is a deliverance class, I understand that there are issues that need to be broken in your life for you to even do this, okay? So I want you to hear what I'm talking about correctly. These are things that may be there, but there are times when we have to literally take authority over these things, break their authority, command them to leave, and then come back to what I just said. Deal with the stuff right here, all right? Because there are spiritual issues that we need to deal with, and then when it turns around and comes back, there's me that I have to deal with, all right? Because these things that have been maybe done to me that I've taken some authority now and cast out have also defined who I am. And so if I look at myself and the definition of myself is dysfunctional, then I need to do some things to change that, okay? Just so you kind of understand that. But I want you to understand, again, that I do know there are things that need to be repented of, renounced, and commanded to go. And we're going to actually do some of that today so that you can get these things broke off of you. Bitterness is the unhealthiest emotion that you can have. When you are offended, are disappointed by others, and allow the hurt to germinate in your heart, bitterness and resentment will take root. Bitterness is characterized by an unforgiving spirit, also an unloving spirit, and generally negative, critical attitudes, bitterness and resentment are both sinful and they're self-defeating. Both sinful and self-defeating. So more than the person who has hurt you, you're going to end up hurting yourself more. You see, and sometimes we're so angry about what's been done to me, but if you don't let it go, you yourself are going to keep doing damage to myself. You see what I'm saying? Okay, sometimes it might be more subtle and grow from the loss of a reputation, social position in a group or control. Whatever the cause, bitterness grows out of an unreleased loss. So when there's been loss of our character, reputation, irregardless what it is, when there's been a loss and you've not released that, it could be years. Maybe you feel years have been taken from you. Maybe you feel your childhood was taken from you. You know, finances. Maybe you did a lot of this to yourself, and maybe you spent years in alcohol and drugs and maybe divorce or whatever the situation is. It still has to be released. Okay, you still need to release yourself and the person so that that root of bitterness then cannot come in. And, you know, I'll just go on. Whenever we lose something or we lose someone significant, we often feel the following thoughts and emotions over a period of time as we grieve over that loss. The bitterness pervades everything. What happens to a person if he keeps bitterness on the inside for many, many years will begin to be affected physically. Suppose it's a bitterness towards a member of a family. Kept inside, he keeps nurturing it and then never shares it. You end up not defiling just yourself, but a whole lot of other people that are down there. Bitterness and resentment make us foolish. Bitterness provokes people to do stupid things and say stupid things. We lash back out. A lot of times we say things we regret. Bitterness hurts us. Bitterness is an emotional suicide. Bitterness is like drinking poison while hoping the other person will die. So we drink the poison of the bitterness, hoping they're going to have to get a payback. We just, in a lot of times we think on that way too much. If that person, somehow God can just get them for it, you know? And God's not going to get anybody for anything. What he's going to do, when that's not dealt with, we can literally eat of our own ways, can't we? You see, so God doesn't even always have to do anything, because what we choose to sow into there is what our harvest is going to be. So if you look at your life where it's at today and you don't like the harvest, then we need to start praying for a crop failure. But in that crop failure, what you need to do is start rooting out some of these things that God never planted in your life. See, we have an enemy, and he's going to plant as much garbage in our lives as we will let him, especially you that are adults. Okay, kids, children can get things planted in that are not right, but. Okay, normally bitter people have an amazing memory for the tiniest detail. They wallow in self-pity and resentment. They record every offense, and they are always ready to show others how much they've been hurt. Bitter people defend their grudges constantly. They feel that they have been hurt too deeply to forgive. Too easily we become bitter, and then bitter and resentment take control and consume us. Bitterness is more than a negative outlook on life. It's destructive, and it is self-destructive power. It brings about oppressive destructive emotions. It can come in from denial or rejection, followed by shock, numbness, guilt, shame, depression, anger, and grief. These feelings are part of the normal grieving process that a person goes through with bitterness. Bitterness grows up when people linger over and over and cling on tightly to the anger and the depression of that grieving process. Bitterness and resentment is a cold and latent form of anger that will show itself through complaining, plotting, scheming, and grouching. Always being upset, always being critical over those different things that can happen to us. Okay? So I'm going to go on here. I've also got a little story I want to read to you at the end that I thought was really, really good. But one of the things here when a person deals with bitterness, and I said this, I taught on Wednesday, and I taught Pastor Evelyn's class because she's out of town, but I was teaching on fear because I think Brian had taught on faith the week before for her. So I just felt like I played off of both what you guys taught, but on the fact of the opposite of faith is fear. All right. And we looked at it from that perspective, but I also talked about two major spirits that will operate with fear. Okay. But there's all the same two spirits operate in that arena of bitterness and resentment. So the number one thing here that comes in is magnification. And it makes something way bigger than it really is. And maybe the offense wasn't even meant. Or maybe the offense or what was done, the violation, was just done out of someone else's insecurities, someone else's dysfunction. But the longer that we stay on this and roll it over and over and over, the bigger and bigger and bigger it becomes. Okay, and if we let it become big, it becomes harder for us to let it go. All right, so all of a sudden you might have started out with this little thing, and all of a sudden it's like huge. All right, and it consumes your life, it consumes your time, consumes your thoughts. It's what you think about all the time. And then the next spiritual force that operates with unforgiveness and bitterness is imagery. And that's the production of mental images or sounds through erroneous perception arising from misrepresentation. It's closely linked or related to hallucinations, which is mental wandering. All right. So something was done. And we allowed our minds to wander and wander. And all of a sudden, what ends up actually happening is all of a sudden you have a scenario or all completely how you have interpreted how this has happened. So you believe, and it may not even be correct, but you have believed that this thing was done probably on purpose to you, or it was done out of their selfish meanness. But and you've been building and building and building it through magnification rather than letting it go, rather than releasing it. Now, sometimes when you deal with unforgiveness or bitterness, do know this, that there's a process also of letting it go, all right? Don't beat yourself up if you've been honestly trying to get rid of it. Just keep working on that because you will succeed. You will. But you know what? When it's kind of like when the devil wants to keep dumping that on you, you just kind of go and you dump it back out. You're just going to have to. And sometimes it just makes you plain mad because you don't think that person deserves you dumping it out, because you'd really rather just go over it and over it and be angry at that person. But as believers, we're required to dump it, aren't we? Get rid of it, all right? A couple other spirits that operate in that same thing would be rehearsing spirits. Play it over and over and over. And sometimes you really even get into that yourself. And what you do with a rehearsing spirit is you talk about it out loud to yourself. You know what I'm talking about? We do. We do. We sit and we listen and listen. Then we might decide how we're going to answer that. Or the next time we see them, what we're going to say. See how that rehearses. And then also another spiritual force that would operate with that would be a spirit that keeps a record of wrongs. We have our list here, and they did this, and then they did this, and then they said that. You see what I'm saying? And the whole thing needs to be thrown out. Because, you know, a lot of people use the scripture, well, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. But bottom line with that is that if you don't forgive, you are doing huge damage to the soundness of your mind, your life, your children. It's kind of like even with when we are raised up in a family that's bitter, that propensity, that nature, that makeup is right there for us to walk that right out, you see. So If we're raised by parents that have been bitter, who were raised by parents that were bitter, we already have that makeup and that mentality. And so again, that comes back to why we as believers need to make some decisions to get it cut off in our lives and uproot it. This one scripture keeps coming to me, so I'm just going to go read it. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 1. You can look at that if you want, or you can just let me read it to you. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. But when God said to Jeremiah, when he sent him to the people, he said, "This day I've appointed you for the oversight of nations and kingdoms," and that means for the oversight of people, too, and this is what he was supposed to do, to root out and pull down, destroy and overthrow all of the works of darkness. So bringing that into our lives, then our responsibility with these things, especially like the bitterness and unforgiveness and offenses that were done, is that we need to root them out. We need to pull them down. We need to destroy them and overthrow it. And you know, that's a progression there. We start uprooting it, but then we go to the place where we literally destroy that root of bitterness in our bloodline and overthrow its whole works. Because again, principalities and powers don't just want you, they want your generations. And they will consistently build and build and build until they have a very well-structured a very well-structured building, actually, that will go from generation to generation until someone goes in and starts rooting it out and pulling it down. And sometimes that's why it's a process, too. For you as a believer, why it takes us some time to work some of these things out and get rid of them, because we've been programmed all our lives in this way, you see. So because most of us, some of us are blessed and have Christian parents, but if you didn't, and all those things were taught to you, and are even, you could have had Christian parents, but they didn't get rid of their dysfunctions. So therefore, all of that was taught to you, so you just can flow. You see? So again, that's the process of and asking the Holy Spirit to show you so you can begin to root these things out, and you can begin to pull them down until you finally destroy them. And you finally overthrow them. Now, I watch this. Now, we're three generations, starting with us, into our family as far as believers now. And I think that's awesome. I do. One of the things I was always, when I first got saved, is I used to think, oh, I wish I had been raised in a Christian home so I had that foundation under me, okay? But now we've had the opportunity to start putting some of that foundation. Okay, so actually, the last set, actually they're twins, but the last of our grandkids, they have gotten the most fruit out of our deliverance ministry, because we bring them over regular to, come on over, Grandma wants to see you today, and they know, come on, we're going to pray, they know what they're going to get prayed for, but you know what? What we're doing is rooting out, you know, pulling down, destroying and overthrowing, hallelujah, some of these things that have been in our bloodline forever and ever, you see? And not saying that everything runs perfect for them, you know, but we've come a long way by just taking responsibility for the deficits that were in our life. We've just dealt with them, okay? And again, when you start doing that, it's not just about you, it's about your offspring. It's for your generations, okay? So bitterness has underling spirits, or spirits that come with it. But this is some different ways that bitterness comes into our life. Number one, it can be inherited as a familiar spirit passed down from generation to generation. I've talked a little bit on that before, too. My father was a very bitter man. And he always wanted to get even with people. He was always critical. He never saw anything good in anybody. And so those are patterns that had to be broke out of every one of his children's lives. Now, not all of them have done it. But you see, those are some things that were major strongholds that we as his offspring have had to overthrow. And without God, basically, it's impossible. I don't think that would be a possible thing without the Lord to help you deal with unforgiveness and bitterness. Okay, can also be acquired due to expectations of others not being fulfilled. And then we go into bitterness as a result. If you have an expectation, maybe of a pastor, maybe of a parent, maybe of an employer, and these things were not fulfilled, then you can go into bitterness because, again, it's that reasoning voice, you know, of why they did it. It could be a husband or a wife, all right? And so we can become bitter over the fact that they did not meet our expectations. But you know what? We're all human, aren't we? See, we need to, we want a break. We want everybody to give us a break. We need to realize again, you cannot define the person that hurt you any other way than that's the sin that they knew that hurt you. Okay, it's that evil behind that. Now, we're going to get into a little bit too about how do you deal with people who have wronged you. You do have to forgive them and you do need to let it go, mostly for your own self, but doesn't mean you have to stay and hang around with them all the time, which I'll get into that a little bit too. Okay, and then number three, it can be acquired bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness due to circumstances in life and then our choosing to respond with bitterness rather than responding out of love. The longer you allow any weed to grow in your garden, okay, it's going to be harder to get that out. The roots are going to go down. See, so when we catch ourselves responding in a negative way, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. You know, if you could pray, God set a guard over my mouth, you could say, God, help me recognize when I'm operating in this. And then you can get it aborted right away in your life. You can get it pulled out. Okay, and then another way is that bitterness and unforgiveness can be modeled before us, and we become programmed to allow these spirits to work out their evil nature in and through us. That, again, comes sometimes out of your generations. In your generations, you're dealing with two different things, the familiar demonic spirit that has come up through the bloodline, and then also through the patterns that were modeled out before you, okay? We learn in different ways, all right? So it's called basically learned behavior, what we see done. And again, that's why you have to get back into that renewing of the mind, because we want to get the Father's way of dealing with things and thinking rather than maybe the way that our parents or maybe the way that we've dealt with it, okay? And so the only way you get that is through the renewing of your mind. And then we can have a personality of bitterness as a result of not being able to separate ourselves from that bitterness. Okay, these are some things that could be operating in our life. Do you have flashbacks of things that were done to you in the past? You know, do you keep going back to those things all the time? Some of those things are automatic in the fact that they are actual demonic images that are in the subconscious mind, but some of them we are voluntarily going back and meditating on also. So again, it's two ways to look at that. Okay. You are still responsible if it's a spiritual force because you've been given authority to cast it out. And then on the second half of that, you may rather than choose to let it go, you just love going over it and over it and over it because it just makes you so angry. You know what I'm talking about? We do that, and even though we know it's wrong, we still want to go over it a little bit longer before we let it go. Okay, so you might have that, flashbacks. Okay, do you keep a record of wrongs? Do you have your list? Have you ever written out a list? I shouldn't ask you that. If you've ever written out a list, I won't ask you. Don't raise your hands. People do. Okay, do you want to get even, or do you want to pay somebody back, or do you wish that somehow they will get a payback on that? You wish evil to them rather than good. You just think they should have to pay for it. Okay, when you think about a certain person, do you resent them? Do you get angry? Are you bitter? Okay, when you are thinking about a certain person. You know, when, again, and I'm just telling you this as an example of how you can go past this. When I first got saved, I hated my father. And When I got saved, the night I got saved, the Lord delivered me from an addiction to nicotine. And I mean, and I was like delivered from like 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's what I was smoking. And it was easy. But then the next thing the Lord took me to was my father. And that wasn't easy. Okay. But like just what, but I did do it. I dealt with it. But see, if you still go back here then, if you think of a certain person, does it make you angry? Or do you still feel that hatred or that resentment? See, because again, I can think of my father and I can honestly understand my dad now why he was like he was. All right. And I can have compassion over the what he had to go through growing up himself rather than being so angry and so bitter towards him, which has set me free too. You see, because nobody really likes growing up hating their parents. Nobody really likes growing up and then being an adult and still feeling like your parents hurt you all your life and wounded you. See, and once you let that go, you can still have a memory of it, but it's not a wounded memory. See, I can tell you everything. Well, not maybe not everything, but I could tell you things that happened. But those things no longer control my emotions. That's kind of what I'm talking about there. Okay, do you hate anyone? Have you ever committed murder? And that's not just talking about physical murder, but do you murder people with your tongue, with your mouth? And then also, do you blame God for things that happened in your life? A lot of times people blame God. Now, my theory is this. My belief is this. God never misses it, but sometimes people honestly blame God because of, God, where were you? Why didn't you help me? Why did you let this happen? And you know, I think we probably could all say that, but we do live in a fallen world. And just as my choices affect my children and my children's children, there are choices my parents made. God had nothing to do with those choices. You see what I'm saying? He has always endeavored to put the gospel out, to put the correct way out before us so we can follow that correct way. But just because my parents may not have followed that way is not God's fault. If I don't follow that way, it's not God's fault. It's mine. Again, it stops right here. So areas that my children have made mistakes come out of what we did, not out of what God did. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so again, if you have bitterness or anger against God, it would be unjustified, so that would maybe help you to understand it's something that you would, you've believed a lie, basically, from the enemy. All right? Satan does not want you to be a stable person. With bitterness comes the spirits of resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, anger, retaliation, violence, and murder. And these are all the underlying spirits of bitterness. There's like, they call them underlings. Resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, anger, retaliation, violence, and murder. And when you say murder, you know, could be somebody who actually physically killed someone. One time I had, and then they're in prison because they've murdered someone, or you know, I've ministered to people who killed people and don't even remember who they killed. They just know they did it. But they still have to deal with that issue. But going back to this, I had a picture back in the days when I taught at Christian Life, and I was going to bring it, but I don't know where I put it right off. But it's a picture of a man in a prison, and he's behind bars, and he's sitting there with his head in his hands, and he looks so defeated and so broken. And I remember asking the students that when we were going through this particular curriculum, how they would interpret that picture. And some of them would say that he was in prison because he'd murdered somebody or, you know, done something wrong. And then others would feel that he had to put himself in his own prison because of all of the things that he had never let go. So we can be in prison to things that have wronged us and things that have hurt us because we didn't unlock the door and come out of there. Hebrews 14 and 15 says, strive to live in peace with everybody. Pursue holiness without which no one will ever see, the Lord. Watch after one another, and this is what we're to do. Watch after one another to see that no one falls back and fails to secure God's grace, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoot forth and cause trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled from it. So we need to be careful that in the bitterness and in the anger, we don't defile other believers with it and other people. And how do you do that? How do you defile other people? You go to them, you tell them about all the bad stuff that was done to you in hopes to get them turned away from that person also. And you bring about then strife and discord and disharmony, and we release poison then into the body. And here's what it tells us, that we are to be careful that we don't allow that, because it's like a poison that wants to seep through. And if you take somebody that really likes you and you go tell them something someone else does, they probably won't like that other person too well. But they were okay with them before, okay? The root of bitterness becomes a deep root when it's not dealt with. Satan wants to set up kingdoms within a person so he has more control. So when we are talking about kingdoms, we are not talking about just casting out demons, but we're talking about literal kingdoms that the enemy will build within a person. They're like kingdoms of darkness that operate under satanic kingdom principles. All right? So, and that is why when you go to do deliverance, sometimes there may be various kingdoms established within that person. So you might need to deal maybe with a kingdom of like rejection over here. And then because of the rejection, now you have another kingdom that has erected itself, and it's the bitterness, the hatred, the anger, jealousy, envy, okay? And that is why sometimes, again, too, that deliverance becomes a process in your life. But we do that, and then it can even go beyond that, and it can set up another kingdom of sickness, disease, infirmity. Many people that deal with diseases and certain things, like especially arthritis, that's coming out of it, and it's even scientifically known that out of roots of bitterness, unforgiveness that we don't let go of, okay? And then again, because it can come up through our bloodline, we can inherit that, but again, who's going to deal with it? If I had arthritis because of bitterness in my bloodline, and I've dealt with the bitterness and got that out, but the arthritis is still there, then I guess I need to deal with that too, right? You know, you can speak to your body. James chapter 3, I think it's around verse 2, talks about your tongue can control your whole body, your nature. You see, so when you start speaking to your physical body, years ago, I used to have arthritis. I did. And it probably came out of that bloodline of bitterness and my own bitterness towards things and unforgiveness. And one day I ministered to a guy who was going in for both his hip replacements, because he had had so much arthritis in his hip bones that had literally eaten away at the cartilage in his hips. And so he was having to go in and get hip replacement. And as I sat and I ministered to him, because he came out of a very strong generational bitterness and unforgiveness. So I'm sitting there listening to them, because when I first was diagnosed with arthritis, I thought, well, I'm just not going to take that. And so I just kind of went my own way and thought, I'm not having arthritis, okay? So, but I never got rid of the pain. And so I went a few more years, and I still had the same symptoms. And then that guy came to my house that day, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is kind of serious. I mean, the guy was there for hip replacement. You know, I think I would have come for prayer sooner. You know, I think I would have adjusted some things sooner. But I'll tell you what, I did. That day when I listened to him, I thought, oh my goodness, this is much more serious than I was thinking. So then from that point on, and I had dealt with bitterness, but hadn't dealt with, again, some of the infirmity. And I'm talking about kingdoms that can be structured within you. So from that point then, I began to start commanding arthritis to leave me. I spoke to inflammation. I spoke to swelling. I spoke to pain. And I tell people, and I don't believe this is an exaggeration, if I spoke to it 50 times a day for 2 weeks, I'm correct in saying that. This is what I did. Every time I felt a pain, I responded to it with, no, 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 you are going to leave in the name of Jesus. It took me 2 weeks, got rid of every bit of it. A few years back, I went in I actually had some x-rays and stuff done on my body, my bones. I have no arthritis at all, where before they had shown up, okay? But, yeah, that is awesome, but it's still going back to taking responsibility that these are some kingdoms that the enemy wants to build in our lives, and he hates you, number one, because you're made in the image of God, and then because you are following the Lord. But see, things will happen in our lives as we are young, and they did to our parents also, but a lot of times our parents never dealt with it. But we can, because we're being taught how to deal with it. We're being brought into the knowledge of it. So again, I don't care how serious whatever you went through growing up, and I know the seriousness of what some of you have been through because I know some, I see who's sitting here, but that doesn't mean that that has to be the end of all things for you. You can say, not on my watch. You can rise up to a different level than what anybody else has ever done in your family, and you can start dealing with these roots. You can root them out, pull them down, destroy them, and then overthrow them so that your generations are not going to have to deal with them. Or even if you don't have children, you know, you're in the body of Christ. You know, we still need to get these things out of our lives because they affect other people. But these are the various things that he will bring and begin to endeavor to structure a kingdom. Some of the kingdoms could be, like I said, the rejection, the bitterness, sickness and infirmity, mental illness, addictions. See, all of these things are different kingdoms the enemy brings into us. But again, we have authority to root them out, to pull them down. Sometimes it may be a process, but until you start doing it, nothing's going to happen. It's going to just sit there. And you're going to be miserable. You're going to be tormented. You know, it talks about in Matthew 18, the guy that would, he owed the great debt to the king, which would be like God. And the king freely forgave him, went out and grabbed his servant who owed him much, much less, and held that against his servant, wouldn't release his servant. And in the end, the Bible says he was turned over to the tormentors. Do you know mental illness, one of the biggest things with mental illness is unforgiveness, because it causes such confusion in our mind and torment in the mind. See, and so if, again, it's not released, you've allowed this, you know, you've allowed it even if you've not allowed it purposefully. If it wasn't your intent, but if that kingdom has been there, you are now allowing it to stay there. So again, if you want to get rid of it, you can get rid of it. And we'll talk in a little bit here on some of the ways to do it. But it's not that hard. But it does take some work. And it is a process sometimes. All right? When I tell you it's a process, one of the reasons I want you to know that is that you don't get discouraged. They say that it's like in layers. And you know, we have layers in our life of, you know, maybe I have had a layer of rejection, and then somewhere along the line, something else has come along and I've been severely rejected. So then I have another layer of it, and the layers keep adding. Okay. So sometimes I may have to root up more than one. How many of you have been rejected by more than one person in your life? You see, and severely, you know, rejection is a very evil spirit that can severely wound you, all right? And so you could have layers. And once rejection comes in, it actually works. Its network is to work, to keep on making sure you're rejected here, and then you're rejected here, and then you're rejected there. So it can keep piling itself deeper and deeper, all right? So then when you recognize that and you renounce it and break it, you can begin to start literally getting it out of your life totally, all right? So that's what I'm talking about with the fact that sometimes it's a process. Usually when you start deliverance, it's huge. But sometimes after you've been through deliverance in a little while, you pick up these little things that are still there. So you just got to uproot them too, all right? So those are different kingdoms that have literally networked in your life for your demise to bring you to a place of breaking you down. Let me see here. Okay, forgiveness is a command from God. It's not an option. If things are not going well in your life, and this affects all of our areas, your finances, your health, your family, or other areas, it could be the door or the root to your problems. Bitterness will bring a curse on our life and lock us into areas that we want out of. Again, the seven underlying spirits of bitterness, I've got them right here somewhere. I want to read them to you. The underlying spirits, underlings, are unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger or wrath, hatred, violence, and murder. Sometimes we can jump from one to the other rather than taking them in. Okay. Unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, which is getting even. You know, if you even go out and you can't do nothing physically, but you endeavor to harm someone else's reputation in any way, that's still a form of revenge or retaliation. It's also the same as like when you have to go tell someone else, which we talked about that scripture with the poison. You know, and I'm not saying that there's not a place that sometimes you need to talk to somebody else, because you do, because you should. Sometimes you need to find someone that you can confide in, because you need to get it out. I've never heard, when we stuff things, that does us more damage than getting it out. Okay, but you don't need to tell 10 different people about so and so did this to me. You see what I'm saying? Because then you're endeavoring to, through that retaliation, bring revenge back against them through their reputation. Okay, then it was anger and wrath. The next one is hatred, violence, and murder. And people can be violent physically, and they can also be violent verbally and emotionally. People can be really cruel and really mean and not even touch you, but what's coming out of their mouth is very violent. All right? Bitterness is the principality, is a strong principality of the enemy. In Ephesians 6:12, it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of darkness of the world. When someone violates or hurts us, we make that person then to be evil, so to speak, along with the evil that they did to us. So we don't separate them. We bring them into one, all right? But we've got to learn how to start being able to separate people from their sin. Let me say that again. When someone hurts us or violates us, we make that person evil, to be evil. In our mindset, they become evil. And so we don't separate them from the sin. We just blog it all together. So every time you see that person, you can't stand them. And it's kind of like I said with my dad, when I finally dealt with this, then I could see my dad and not dislike him anymore. I can think of my father. You learn to separate that. And that's important for you to do, to be able to separate the sin that they did to you from the person that did it to you. Okay, God did not create you from the foundation of the world to be a sinner. He created you from the foundation of the world as a believer, as a saint before him, or as his son and daughter. Bitterness and its underlying spirits work to separate you from God and his peace. So when we walk in this, even if we're not angry at God, if we're angry at someone else, have you ever noticed how it's hard to get where you feel like you can get in there and pray? So those are always little, like wedges that he's trying to get in there. And then he also wants to separate you from other people. And we need to recognize that sin is our enemy, not the people. Let me read Hebrews 12:15 again. It says, look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, and any root of bitterness spring up and trouble many and defile many. Okay, so when someone wrongs you, the first spirit that goes on assignment in your life would be like the spirit of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will continue to remind you or rehearse the wrong that's been done to you. It works to get you to rehash it, go over it and over it and over it. And you might think, man, I have overcome this. I don't even need to hear this lesson. That is not true, because no matter where you're at in life, the devil wants you to pick this back up. He does. And just start doing some things in the kingdom of God for a while and find out how much the devil wants to move you back into this position. Or start getting some victory in your life and watch how the enemy wants to slap you right back over into it. So we never outgrow the need for this kind of a message. In fact, if most of you would even just stop and think, there's probably some areas in your life where you may have some bitter resentment against other people. Okay. All right, let me go back and okay. What it's going to try to do then is continue to remind you, bring it up, project it. You're going to be tormented, meaning you sit and think about it all the time. You know, if you keep, you know what I did one time? Oh, this is terrible, but I had somebody come really against me one time, and they wrote me a letter, all right? And so I kept that letter, and I read it every day. Every day I read that letter. It hurt me. That hurt me so bad what they said against me. And so I'd read it every day. And I would just be so hurt and so angry. And one day the Lord said to me, tear up that letter. You see, but you see how we can play into that. And I did that probably for a few months. You know, isn't that awful? But that's how deeply wounded I was. And it was like I couldn't let it go. So I not only hung on to it, but I rehearsed it day in and day out. You know what that does to you? Gets you nowhere. I didn't get sick because I finally did let it go. But, you know, it still is a wide open door. Still makes you feel of no value. Still makes you feel insecure, rejected. You know, it just piles and piles and piles. And I kept going to God. God, help me forgive this person, God. But as I got up and I read it, it would like all come back, every bit of it, you know? So yeah, I had to get rid of that. I had to tear that up. And sometimes we have little things that remind us of things that people have done to us. You don't have to keep looking at those things every day. You can get rid of them. You know, even if you've had like someone that you've loved in the past and they've hurt you and you keep going back over things, get rid of it. Some things, even that we keep as a keepsake, are not worth keeping for your sake. We need to get rid of those things. But I actually did that. And so, you know, I learned a lot from that. It's better to get rid of stuff right away, because every day that I read that letter, it just took me right back to what they had said, because it was all there. So, okay, resentment, what that does is it holds to grudges. After forgiveness, after forgiveness has had its fermenting work in your life, the next strong man that will come from bitterness will be resentment. Resentment stands on the foundation of forgiveness, and resentment defiles you by saying, you know what? I don't really even like you. And how many times do we even think that of other Christians? I just don't like you. Okay? I'm not going to forgive you. I can't forgive you. How many of us have ever said, I can't forgive that person? You know, if you have someone in your life that you absolutely cannot let go of, you probably have allowed, and I don't even want to say allowed, but you have allowed it. Some people are so taken advantage of, but you may very well have a demonic spirit of unforgiveness that needs to be broken before you can actually really forgive them. That's something that you never want to overlook because it is a spirit. Because it's a spirit and you can, it's like you deal with it and it's almost like unrelenting. And even though you might have had some ministry with someone and you say, well, I still can't do that. If somebody comes to me and tells me they cannot forgive someone and I keep going around the block with them trying to get them to do it on their by themselves and they cannot do it, then that's going to tell me that I'm dealing with a spirit of unforgiveness that that person first needs to be released of, cast out, and then you can go on to the next step in that. And that can happen. So if you, you know, are dealing with something, there's nothing wrong with you stopping and saying, no, I don't want you, and I command you to go from me in the name of Jesus. You can do a lot of self-deliverance by refusing to allow it to be there. Cast it out. This is your house. Okay? All right, number three would be retaliation. The spirit of retaliation is more dangerous than unforgiveness or resentment because the latter state of a person that has retaliation goes way beyond just simple forgiveness. It is progressive demonization, all right? So be careful when you want to get even because you're progressing towards, like I said, I rehearsed and read the letter every day, but I never did get to the point where I wanted to get even with that person, all right? But see, it takes you step by step by step. See, so if you're wallowing in some things, today's going to be a good day for you to move forward from it, okay? Each spirit as we go through this becomes more dangerous than the other one. When someone says they're going to pay you back or get even, or you're even thinking it, then you know that resentment has come in and unforgiveness and bitterness have gone beyond that to a place of retaliation. Okay. The next in line would be anger and wrath. Unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation can be hidden by someone, but anger will start showing itself out either physically or verbally. All right? You can hide your unforgiveness. You can hide your resentment. You can even hide like an inner retaliation. But all of a sudden, that starts exploding out of you. All right? And it can be where, again, you're physical and violent, or you can become verbal, or you can even become self-destructive. Okay? Because a lot of times when we won't release it, we become self-destructive towards ourselves too. Okay, retaliation will be internalized long before the act of getting even. So a lot of times we want to retaliate, and it's like a plot to sit and think about how you can get even with that to the point where then it becomes to the next stage was hatred and then murder. And a lot of times we murder people with our tongue. We tear people apart with things that we say, and we become, that's horrible to become a gossip. I want to read you something on forgiveness that I pulled out of a book, and actually has a lot to do with Corrie Ten Boom, and or it's a part of her story. But the thing that was interesting in this is what she went through. You know, I don't know if you've ever read her book. I never have. But I've read bits and pieces of it. But the interesting thing is what she preached to everybody, she was not able to practice when she first met someone who had actually harmed her. But let me just read this to you. It says, Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch Christian who was imprisoned in one of Hitler's concentration camps during World War II. She and her family suffered many horrible things as punishment for trying to help Jewish people escape from the Nazis and the Holocaust. She had every reason to have deep regret over her family's losses. If only they had remained uninvolved and isolated, perhaps her parents and siblings would still be alive. Corey bravely endured her captivity in the concentration camps, and she made it through the war alive. Years later, she was speaking in Munich, Germany, declaring the Lord's faithfulness to the people. One of the Nazis who had guarded her and her sister was in the audience. After she completed her talk, he stayed behind to meet her. The following quote comes from her book, The Hiding Place. She says, "It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room in the processing center. He was just the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, Betsy's painful face. He came up to me," you know, and this is a good thing to think on, because all of a sudden, some of you, when you go back through these things or you see things or something is said, all of this comes flooding back to you of what was done to you. But as we go into this, if you will learn that even just a simple thing can start walking you on your freedom to get out of this bitterness and resentment. And I'll get to what she does here in a few minutes. So he came up to her as the church was emptying, and he was beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said. "To think that, as you say, he has washed my sin away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. "Lord Jesus," I prayed, "forgive me and help me to forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing but the slightest spark. I felt nothing, not even the slightest spark of warmth or charity towards him. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along through my arm, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with us the command, love itself. And there's more here to read, but what I'm saying here, and I want you to get, is that when you can make one gesture beyond, one gesture of kindness past, when you're dealing with all this unforgiveness and bitterness towards the person, even if the person is not even physically there, you know, you can verbally release people and release yourself. Okay? Some of you might have parents that are dead, so you can't go back that way. There's ways to do it. You know, you could have ways like let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But I know people who have come out of the German Nazi camps and the thing with the Jewish people where there's so much friction still between them. All right. And some of the reasons that there's so much friction is that spirit of hatred that has come up. It's a racial division is what it is. All right. We deal with racial division today. Why? Where does that come from? Well, it comes from both sides, with the bitterness that came up from their ancestors on both sides, all right? But when somebody steps out of that, like, prison that the enemy endeavored to put them in and do a kindness. I had a friend who, his father was in the youth regime of Hitler. And one of the things that they did is they were really needing some major healing in their family. So one of the gestures that they did is they went out and they found someone who was Jewish and did something kind to them. You know, So if you've had a father, you know, find a father figure maybe and release some of that, talk with that, you know, just, and I'm not telling you that that's what you should do. What I'm telling you to do is hear what God's telling you to do. Not me. Hear what he's telling you to do, because he knows exactly what will help you. Jesus knew that sometimes it would be difficult for us to forgive others, and that's why he showed us how it's done. He modeled forgiveness like no other person in history. He was accused falsely. How many of us have had that? He was mocked. He was spit upon, beaten upon beyond recognition. He was rejected and then hung on a cross to die. In the midst of all of it, he gazed, looked at the guilty crowd, and said to the Father, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." For the most part, that is generally true of our offenders as well. Seldom do people hurt one another because they are downright mean or have a desire to see someone suffer. More often than not, it's because of their own brokenness or their selfishness or their insensitivity to the feelings of others. When someone sins against us, it often touches those places we've been hurt as well, and it feels intentional whether or not it was. It is only by the power of God that we can truly forgive from the heart. We must choose to forgive, and then God gives us the power to do it. Forgiveness can be a process, especially when there have been offenses over prolonged periods of time. And basically, that could be an individual person to you, or it could have been maybe with a parent from upbringing or someone who has repeatedly harmed you in any way, even if it's like been a verbal thing, whatever. Forgiving is not about denial, and it's not pretending that everything is okay. It's not repressing or stuffing the feelings. We have to squarely face the truth of what has happened and how it's affected with our life, and then how we're going to deal with it from that point on. When someone forgives, their mind is restored. When I'm talking, well, if you harbor unforgiveness, it gives people real estate in your brain. It hinders you from controlling your own thoughts. Have you ever given the deed of your thought life to someone else? Until you forgive, these parts of your brain, you've given away to another. What's that talking about? If there's a part of you that rehearses day in and day out and thinks on this all the time, you've given a part of your brain to someone else. They've set up house there, all right? So if you keep going back and keep going back, today's the time to start taking it back. All right? Because you need your mind back. In those states that you're going over all of this stuff that was done to you, in that state, it's never a pretty state. Every day that I got up and read my letter, I was never happy. You see? But you can just as well be thinking of it over and over and over and over, and you're still unhappy, still depressed, and still mentally tormented by it. Okay, the consequences that follow an offense can last for a long while or even a lifetime. One of the misconceptions regarding forgiveness is that it means we must enter back into relationship with the person we are forgiving. That is not necessarily the case. Even though we serve a God of restoration and reconciliation, for instance, in the case of abuse or extreme control, proper boundaries must be established. And so you are not wrong. Even though you forgive, you have to establish boundaries with certain people. Reason being, you've done all this hard work to get this out, and then you go back into that relationship, and it's violation, 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 and then you go back, and it's all dumped back on you. You see? And it's like you're starting back over. So you can set boundaries. Boundaries are good, and we need to do that, okay? We need to let go, and we need to not go back into abusive situations, and we also need to go back into areas where people control, and set up boundaries there, and you do not allow someone else to have control of your life. I've said this to you before. You belong to Jesus, not another person. So, and each person, do you know, sometimes parents do this to children. And control is as the spirit of witchcraft. We just got to let it go. Oh my goodness, the first time I ever read that and studied that, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm guilty. I've been practicing witchcraft because I was always trying to make my kids do this, and then I'd get them over here, and then something would happen here, and no, we're going to do this. And see, that's controlling. And they're going to learn more. I mean, you need to be there to help them walk through some of their mistakes, but in that, help them to be accountable. You know, don't be babysitting that. Teach them some accountability. But anyway, back to boundaries. The first step we wanted to get that you do know is that you can set boundaries. The first step is to allow God to cleanse your heart of bitterness and unforgiveness in realizing how great his love and forgiveness has been towards you. In other words, because it was given to you, you need to give it. Okay? You will then be able to access his power to forgive others. Just like everything we do, we need him for. We need him for this too. Jesus is here today to give you the power that you need to release people so you can move forward in your life. It may seem as though you're letting the offender off the hook, but actually you are putting him on God's hook. God is a perfect judge, and he alone claims the right to vengeance. He is superior in administrating consequences and holding offenders accountable. God is faithful to give wisdom regarding the degree to which a relationship should progress after forgiveness has been granted. One must be led by the Holy Spirit in resuming a relationship that has been hurtful, volatile, or generally unsafe. So in other words, sometimes we'll minister to people and they will like, well, do I have to go back into that relationship then? No, you don't. You know, if the person maybe repents and if the person maybe really tries to work it out, you can tell that person where to get help. But again, don't get yourself involved in that again, because then you're going to have to deal with all the garbage to get it back out of your life. Okay, more often than not, people who are experiencing persistent anger or depression are dealing with unforgiveness. In addition, fear and pain often lie at the root of the anger and depression. Some depression is a result of anger being turned inwards. People often try to deal with the symptoms of anger or depression without dealing with the emotional pain or fear that lies at the root. This truth is so important to living in freedom, then let me state it one more time. Anger is the human response to emotional pain. It's a secondary emotion. The emotion of anger tells us then that a boundary has been violated. Through anger, we often attempt to get justice. Scripture tells us that anger, the wrath of man, does not accomplish the righteousness of God. You cannot deal with the anger without first dealing with the pain or the fear. Once the pain and the fear is acknowledged and healed, forgiveness is possible. Remember, it's only by the power of God that you can forgive. I want to read one more thing here to you. What then? Oh, I should. Yeah, I'll get it out for you guys if you want it. Okay, I want to encourage you to get alone with God. And I've been saying this in my classes lately, when I was teaching in the evening. But I believe God is calling his people back to him. And see, we need to come back to God, not other people, always looking for other people to help us through everything. And it's not wrong to look to other people to help you. But in that person helping you, you better be looking to Jesus. All right? I'm a minister, so I help people. And I believe in helping people. But I don't believe in you looking to me for your answer, because I don't have them. I can get a word from God and I can tell you what he says, but there is nothing like in that process. And once you start walking into that place of freedom, that you learn to go to him. See, if I encourage you or constantly work to have you come to me, I'm going to rob you of the most and the greatest treasure you could have. And that's learning how to fellowship your Father. There's nothing like that, you see. So that is so important that you learn to go to God and say, Jesus, I don't know what to do with this. Or God, help me, because I can't forgive them. But go to him, Because he will give you that power. He'll tell you what to do. He'll show you, even if you're going to be required of this. You might not be required to go. You know, the Bible says to those that wrong you, bless them. You may not be required to do that. So if you took that scripture and read it in the incorrect way, that's not where God, perhaps by the Holy Spirit, wants you to go right now. You see? So learn to go to Jesus. Learn to go to him and do it more than once. I mean, if you go and it doesn't seem to work, go back. It's not him that's holding back from you. It's you that's not comfortable in talking to him. All right? Just so you remember that. Okay. Go to a quiet place where you'll not be interrupted and sit quietly before the Lord. I don't even go to a quiet place. I talk to God as I go to. I mean, well, I shouldn't say I don't go to a quiet place. I do. But, you know, I've learned he is with me all the time. That's kind of like what Brian said. He's not just beside us. He's not just on our side, but he's on our. He's not by our side, but he's on our side. And he's also always here to hear you. Okay, so again, I just have to a lot of times learn how to hear him, but I take him with me everywhere because he's here. So I talk to him all the time. I can drive in my car and get a word from God. I can be vacuuming my house and get a word from God because I carry on conversation with him. And sometimes I do it out loud. I basically probably most of the time talk out to God out loud, you know? So I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the him. But I'll ask him things. And I also share my frustrations with him. And I'll share my needs with him. And I'll share my, if I'm having an issue, that's where I go. And you can just dump it all out with the Lord. Okay? Okay, remember that you might need to forgive yourself. It's also possible you might need to forgive God. For example, you could be laboring in your mind with a question as to why did God let my baby die? Why did he allow me to go through this abuse? When you struggle with anger toward God, it creates a barrier preventing the connection with your Heavenly Father that you so deeply need. I said it at the very beginning. When you question God, God, why did you let this happen? Every mistake I have made in life, God did not let happen. I made them on my own. All right? And so the mistakes my parents made, that wasn't God's will. The mistakes that I made, that wasn't God's will. See, so we can't rightfully blame the Lord. Again, that's back to that accountability. All right, Lord. And then we trust him to help us walk out of it. Because, see, again, if you go to God and you don't feel like he is on your side, that he might just smack you, you're not going to trust him to go get a word from him. You need to know he loves you and that he wants to help you. He hates what you've gone through more than what you hate. You know, when my children have been hurt and wounded in life, or when somebody's picked on my kids, it don't make me too happy. It doesn't. Pastor Evelyn tells a story about she almost beat a kid up one time. But you know what? That's what we're like when it's our children, isn't it? You see? So God doesn't like it any more than we do when someone's wronged us, okay? All right. Okay. Let's see. So remember, just engage your heart. Now I'm going to lead you through a prayer, and I want everybody to pray this with me, and then we're going to pray over you just a little bit, not a lot today, and actually I'm going to open up the altars today because it's early, and you can come up for some prayer, all right? But I want you to say, this is dealing with unforgiveness. Father, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive. Now say who you need to forgive. You can say that quietly, but do say it out loud. And there might be more than one person. I forgive them for. Say what you forgive them for. If you're very specific, it'll help you. When they did that to me, it made me feel, and you can say the emotions that you felt, frustrated, angry. I felt full of shame. I felt rejected. I felt unloved. I felt betrayed. confused, hopeless, afraid. Lord, I bring all of these emotions and feelings to you, and I release them to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I take your peace, your love, your respect, your sound mind, your presence, your dignity. Today, I choose to release myself from being the victim any longer of the offense that was done to me. Now say, I release myself by choice of my will from, and say what you're releasing yourself from, whether it was unkind words, whether it was abandonment, divorce, abuse. Lord, I take this person off my hook and I release them to you. I choose to never hold the consequences of their sin against them any longer. I remove that off my back and release it to you. I choose to trust you to redeem the damage that has been done because of their sin. Jesus, when you went to the cross, you bore my pain and you redeemed me from the spirit of fear. You proved the great love that you have for me. Therefore, Lord, I ask that you will put your hand where the pain has been. And God, I freely release it to you. And I freely receive your healing. I give up all bitterness, resentment, revenge, retaliation, and unforgiveness. And I receive your peace today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now I'm just going to pray over you, and if you guys want to come up too. But Father, right now in the name of Jesus, now all you got to do is set yourself to receive. But Father, I take authority over a spirit of unforgiveness, and I command the spirit of unforgiveness broken, and I call it out in the name of Jesus. I command spirits, unforgiving, unrelenting, tormenting spirits of unforgiveness, come out right now in the name of Jesus. Expel in the name of Jesus. You come out of God's people in the name of Jesus.
I command all that affliction and all that torment of the mind to come out right now in the name of Jesus. All that anguish of the soul, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. I command in the name of Jesus that mental illness, I command you to come out.
Come out.
I command on the arthritis to come out in the name of Jesus. All that inflammation, all that pain, I command all that emotional pain to come out. I command all that physical pain to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all that rehearsal and magnification to come out in the name of Jesus.
Okay, I speak to all that, those bitter roots. I speak to spirits that constantly play back over and over. And I even come against where you live in a place of constant guilt over mistakes that you've made even in your own life. And I break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. That spirit of guilt and condemnation, I command them broken and I command them to go. Take a deep breath and release that in the name of Jesus. For mistakes, I call them out in the name of Jesus. That feeling of being a total failure, I command that to go in the name of Jesus. Where you have felt like you're a failure as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, I command that failure spirit and failure mentality broken in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
Over the last few minutes, the Lord's been showing me that the subject that she taught on today was it's an issue that almost all believers deal with, or all believers have dealt with and felt. And he showed me that there's like a shell that people put over themselves to, or over their heart, to try to protect them from this. And that shell will have to do with like a false security, but it will also keep them from receiving the freedom that he has for them today. So he doesn't want anybody to be ashamed. He wants you guys to acknowledge what he's trying to do with you. And I take authority right now in Jesus' name, and I break that shell. I break that false security and that false protection that we put over ourselves. I break those shells and I break those false security mindsets right now in Jesus' name, and I declare release over the children of the God right now.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
I just asked Pastor Bev if it was okay I shared this. It was a while back, probably almost 2 years ago, somebody in the body of Christ had sent me a message one day that was really offensive. I mean, I was furious when I read it. And against my better judgment, I responded to it immediately. And I shouldn't have. And it kind of went, it got worse because I responded to it right away. And literally, you know, I prayed and I was like, Lord, help me forgive them. Help me let this go. Lord, I love them. I labored with it literally for almost a full year. And every time I'd see that person, and when I didn't see him, I was okay. But when I'd see them, I was in the room, I'd just like, oh, just be like, why can't they leave? And I would just I just wouldn't want to be around them. And I literally, this went on for a year. And it was, I read in a book, Pastor Bev said this earlier, but I read this in a book too last, about a year ago, last fall, I guess. And what they said was in this book is that you have to separate the evil that's been done from you or done to you from the person. And this book suggested that you write it down on a piece of paper and take out all the emotion about you always and you never and all that. You take it out and you just write down what they said. And when I did that, it was almost immediate. I got such a freedom that I was able to separate what they said and all the emotion of what they said and all the hurt of what they said to me. I was able to separate it and just let it go. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to let it go, I'm telling you, the freedom was like, whoa. And it was immediate too. It wasn't like this progressive thing. It was bam, right now. And I have been able to, since separating the evil that was done, I have been able to forgive that person. I've been able to walk free of it, and just what they did was wrong, and what a lot of what they said to me was wrong. But I was able to just separate it, forgive them, and to walk away from it. I will tell you one thing I did. You know, at the beginning, when the message came to me, I read it one time and I deleted it. And then I went into my permanent files and deleted it, so I could not read it again, because I know that, you know, that for whatever reason, I don't know why we're like that. We like to read it and like go through it again and just, you know, that's wrong and this is wrong. But I'm telling you, if someone has offended you and someone has hurt you, separate what they said and the evil of what they said from that person, and forgive the person. What they said and what they did may have been wrong, but we separate that and we forgive the person. Because if you don't, you are the one that is paying the price for their sins and not them.
That's right. And some of you even, you know, I told you my story about my letter, you know, and that's kind of an embarrassing thing, but I had that letter out every day reading it so I could go back over and then be angry and definitely prove to myself they were wrong in what they said. But some of you, and God finally had to tell me just rip it up, but some of you have a mental letter that you are reading every day, sometimes more than once, and you need to rip that up. You need to get rid of them. Okay? You need to take these letters that you're reading day in and day. It could be with a child, could be with a parent. But if you want to be free, you're going to have to rip up the letters and quit rehearsing them so you can start moving forward. And if you will do that, you're going to start moving forward. Because you don't want to be spinning and spinning and spinning. It's like Brian said, for 1 year, you know, that's a year lost, wasted of good time, because we go over it and over and we're hurt and we're hurt and we're wounded and we're wounded and we're angry and we're angry. And let's move forward, okay? All right, we're done. And I'm going to pray over you, then we'll just open up the altars for about 15, 20 minutes, okay? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare that this word, God, that was planted in the hearts and the lives of every person, that it will take root. And God, we declare it will be watered, that it will grow, that it will bring forth harvest, that it will bring forth healing, that it will bring forth freedom, that it will bring forth mental soundness in the name of Jesus. I decree, I declare mental soundness. I declare liberty. I declare freedom. I command every tormentor to go now in the name of Jesus. And I declare the blessings of God over you. I declare his peace. I declare his soundness over you, that God is not giving you fear, apprehension, intimidation, but a sound mind. I declare soundness and wholeness. And Lord, I pray that where there has been brokenness, God, that you will take, and not, you guys are going to have to release these parts to him, but take every broken area of their lives, Holy Spirit, and bring them back into a place of wholeness. Reintegrate them. Cleanse them. Move them forward and give them, Lord, what they need to help them. I ask God for those that need to forgive. Lord, enable them by your grace to forgive. Enable them, God, to let go. Enable them to rip up the letters. Enable them to move forward, God, by your spirit and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.